There's been a number of conversations I've had with a couple of comrades recently that I think is sort of relevant to sort of tapping into the collective zeitgeist that a lot of people, a lot of Aboriginal, a lot of black fellas are feeling across the country, across the continent, and on everyone's respective sort of communities and points of subjectivity. And certainly as a layman of our people's history, in the sense of understanding that a lot of community organizations that stand today are directly as a result of collective community grassroots action and pushes into for the formations of those things, like, not to name names, but our ALSs, our AMSs, and et cetera, and various extensions of, like, any society's infrastructure. Initially at the time they were formed out of a need of post the dissolution of the welfare board in 1967, essentially the burden and not even burden, just the simple question of, like, white fellas and government aren't going to look after us. We, in terms of, like, fucking those instant basic sort of necessities, like, having clean, accessible, affordable healthcare, or, like, fair and decent legal representation in the face of, the colony and systematic brutality and genocide, and living the affectations of that every day. So we have to do this ourselves. We have to provide this service. We have to build this infrastructure ourselves. And I'm sure that that was the question to a lot of us, a lot of them, mob, them young people at the time in 73 and 72 and et cetera, around the formation of those. Some of those individuals I'm fortunate enough to have an interpersonal relationship with in a, deep and very, very, very cherished sort of dynamic and relationship, and very humbled to say. However, and I was just talking to this with another uncle of mine, someone who's on a, very prestigious, a very high position, within community currently, and asking, or just saying, like, these are my observations. I'm seeing a repeat in relation to what happened in the decade prior to the 70s and the 60s, where there was an actual fight, an actual collective action, an actual ideological disagreement about the role of white people in our community organizations. And that caused ripples and tears, and then there was a big, hullabaloo about it. Particularly in sort of what's known as, like, the fight for the control of the CATSI, that happened from, like, 65 onwards, essentially, and it eventuated in the dissolution of the CATSI. And there was, there was numerous individuals that felt either which way. The CATSI was at the time, in that in that decade prior, where people were, there was a 10-year decade sort of push towards the referendum. Like, it wasn't, it just wasn't happened by the government. It was actually, community organizations like the CATSI, like the APL, the Aboriginal Progressive League, which was reformed in 1960. And there's a clear sort of, I want to say, l historical legacy and continuity that goes back to 1902, 1938, in terms of the Aboriginal Australia, the AAPA, and 1902, the stuff that was happening with Jack Johnson and Fred Maynard as well, at the turn of the century. Even before that, you could draw the correlation, of course, to political resistance that was done by people like Pemulwuy, Gundamurra, Yagan, Triganini, and etc., in terms of the armed resistance that was occurring.
You're seeing, like, a parallel being drawn of, like, a new.
I'm seeing a new parallel in relation to essentially new mission managers, new Johnnies running, new Johnny come latelys and white fellas infested within our community organizations across the board. And obviously, there's numerous contexts and circumstances that people can speak on in terms of the so-called, progress of the past 2 decades. However, we've seen that this is the result of our community organizations now. And this is something that we all of us can see quite acutely and quite viscerally and quite apparently, that a lot of these community organizations are essentially failing us and are essentially in the hands of these new age slave masters.
And in response to this, do you reckon you're seeing like a general community consensus come together and demand for not even just better conditions, but a total upheaval of the systems that govern their day-to-day lives and their material conditions?
I think so. I am noticing that phenomenon, and I predict that this, the history of this will be written in terms of like the rise of say, you know, numerous corporations which have started up across the board in direct response to the, and it's not only just say these sort of black organizations with white faces or vice versa. It's also just the general failure of our own public institutions, you know, due to a multitude of different reasons, where suddenly now 1993 is the benchmark where we're literally begging at the table to be like, oh, take us back to then, you know, take us back to 1993 before land rights was a thing.
Interesting that you say that, Pete. Prevailing idea is take us back to a time when it was, you know, better in comparison, but that people are struggling to sort of see it pass out. I'm only bringing this point up to say that this is like capitalist realism, like Mark Fisher talks about, where it's like, it's not only that via policies there is like an active erasure of culture and language and a push to assimilate, and by doing that erasing the past, but there's an active erasing of the present, which creates a dissonance that people cannot seem to imagine what would be a world beyond these conditions and only want it to hurt a little less.
100%. I think that's the beauty of the cognitive dissonance, of the nature of the amorphic illusion of progress, that people, you know, people seem to think that, oh, we've got land councils now. Oh, we've got native title now. But native title is fundamentally not land rights. Native title is fundamentally not what people have been fighting and protesting for a multitude of decades in terms of, and also with the land councils, the various incarnations that they've been sort of brought through, you know, with a multitude of different funding bodies and et cetera, are essentially a husk of their former selves ever since, you know, Howard essentially killed it overnight in 97. But for us to actually be begging at the table and wishing for a time like that was, it's pretty tame and pretty moderate, essentially, like, you know, 93, be like, oh, can we have a go? But there's this illusion of progress that things have fundamentally got better. Whereas I'm arguing, I'm pleading as a young man today, witnessing these occurrences in community, witnessing the conditions left, right, and center, even statistically, they do not lie. Things are fundamentally more grim. In fact, if I was my age in 97, I would even say that my future would seem so much more prosperous and so much more filled with hope and filled with aspiration and filled with joy. But currently, not only is it compounded in like a failure of our public institutions via various means, certainly I think the vast swelling of, say, Johnny Cunn Lately's new age sort of mission managers who have been controlling organizations for a long time, essentially failing us. And I've seen certain solutions to that being basically a pivot of black followers starting their own corporations and just not, we're just going to do this ourselves, we're going to start from scratch. Some people may argue that that's a bit inefficient, you know, there's existing things. I'm neither here nor there about it. I think at the end of the day, the urgency of the present, impact and outcomes really speak to that. And so it doesn't really matter who gets things done. I think all that really matters is if we have a fine window of time, we really need to act. And in fact, if I could plead to my fellow countrymen, I would strongly, strongly, strongly implore them to come back home one day soon and invest in the infrastructure, invest in our collective community, cultural and political systems, because we really need our best and brightest back home. We really need everyone back home sooner rather than later. A lot of us, unfortunately, our best and brightest are generally sucked up into, you know, the machines of the private sector or the public service or et cetera. You know, and there's a multitude of reasons why I'm not begrudging them at all. But we really desperately, I can't speak for any one community, but I can definitely speak for mine. We need more young, positive, forward-thinking people back home to really make a change and really make a difference. I've seen this reiterated in the sort of different ecospheres of things that I've witnessed, of people saying, get involved in your local community board, get involved in your land council, be a positive difference, be a change, etc. Be that sort of tangential hope. Hell, I'm on the board of a local preschool I teach at. I just teach there. It is still some form of, I suppose, it's not necessarily like citizenship, but it's what it's our Guri citizenship in a way, you know, and to organize, because if our best and brightest aren't here on home, then how are we going to actually see any tangible differences or changes, like emanating from, say, different urban settings on the town? You know, we just need to start our own orgs and start our own